Well, the discussion in South Africa at the moment is quite intense, not least on black economic empowerment. ANC doubling down despite evidence everywhere that it is not working and that we've had 17 years now of poor economic performance. Many people saying it's because of BEE. But what do the public believe? Social Research Foundation has recently done some analysis, and we will find the latest research from its research head, Gabriel Macon. I had an interesting chat this morning with Rob Hersoff, Gabriel, and I mentioned to him that the SRF has always been on the money, it seems, with research. There was one issue that he was concerned about, but we'll leave that for now. But it's almost like you guys feel the temperature, see what people are interested in, and then you do the research into those issues. What drives this?
Well, I think as a polling organization, one of the things that you really do need, we really do need to try and do is that kind of temperature test. We want to be as we want our data to be as relevant as possible at the moment it comes out, because, you know, although we think that we've gathered data that has long-term and longer-term relevance, the way to really get people interested in what you're doing is to have immediately relevant data. And so that requires thinking long and hard about what are the issues that are going to be important in a month's time once the questions have gone into the field, come out of the field, and we get the research back. You know, because when we're sitting tuning these surveys, you know, we've got a month lag time before we see any of the results of it. So it is about thinking two steps ahead, what is going to be relevant and what do we want people to be talking about and what do we want to know about South African public opinion.
And the chairman of your board, Frans Cronier, is, he's been around the block enough times. I'm sure he plays a role in this.
Yes, he was when I first started. He was the one who basically did all of this, and he would do the kind of forecasting, and that would be how we developed our surveys. Now that I've spent a number of years working with him, we do it more in concert, and I'm lucky enough that this year, in fact, I've been given more of the role of doing the temperature check and the predictions as to what will be relevant.
And the latest survey that we're going to discuss in just a moment, what drove your intentions here?
So one of the things that the Social Research Foundation believes about South Africa is that as a country and as a democracy, we have had a really poor record of polling our public opinion and understanding what voters think. You know, in most other democracies in the world, and especially in Western European and the American democracy, there are hundreds of polls that will come out in the course of a year that track the public opinion, not only about the big political parties, but about various political issues. And in South Africa, we simply did not have a tradition of doing that. And so the SRF is an attempt to start to build that tradition, figure out not only what people feel about the big political parties, but figure out what is undergirding people's beliefs. And so this new survey is our kind of deepest attempt on a few different issues. We wanted to really narrow in on three specific values. We wanted to narrow in on people's beliefs on state versus private-led economic development. How important is race in people's overall decision-making? And then we kind of, how individualistic are South Africans when it comes to the way they view their place in communities and in society more broadly?
You know, it was interesting going through the results, and we're going to focus on a couple of, well, four of the tables in just a moment. It really struck me that if you were a Cape Independence promoter, you'd love to get hold of this information, because there's a massive schism between the population groups and indeed between those who support various political parties on the way they think about the world. There's one group who really believes that the state should be dominating and running a lot of your life. And there's another group that is the Western Cape group, I presume, mainly whites, coloureds and Indians, who's saying, whoa, no way, I don't want the state in my life. So anyway, it's an interesting consequence that comes through here, but one that must be shaping opinion into the long term, given that we are this country that's 100 years old, that was tacked together by the British, the colonialists, and we're a big country. So it's interesting to, when you've got the information, that at least you can make proper or sensible assessments on it. I'm sure that's also part of the whole approach.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, if you want to say something relevant about anything, you should bring as much evidence and data to bear to say something relevant. And for too long, there's been the South African political analyst tradition has essentially consisted of people, I don't know, forecasting using sorcery or throwing the bones to figure out exactly what it is that people think. And there hasn't been an attempt to really do hard quantitative research into the various aspects of people's political decision making.
Yeah, and maybe there's a measure of arrogance and presumption that comes into that as well. Let's have a look at the first of these charts now, or the results. And this is a big one. Who do you feel benefits most from affirmative action today? Now, I know that well over half of those who watch BizNews TV watch it on television, so they'll be able to see this. But there's still about a quarter who will be watching it on their iPhones or their cell phones, so they wouldn't be able to see the numbers perhaps in such detail. Let's just take us through this table, if you would, on the basis that not everybody can see the exact figures on each of the categories.
So what we did here is we asked a very simple question: who do you feel benefits most from affirmative action today? We gave people five options: the poor, the middle class, elites, the politically connected, and business owners. And amongst all voters, about 13% or so said either the poor or the middle class. So that you should read that as the people, them responding that the people who are intended, who the government says is intended to be uplifted by affirmative action, only 13% of people believe that actually affirmative action does the thing that the government says it should do. Then we have about 70% of people, of all people, who say either the elites or politically connected. And if you add business owners, it goes up to about 83% of people. And so what this demonstrates, and if you look kind of read across, you'll see that you've got the racial groups included, and then ANC, DA, and MK supporters. And basically, you know, just there is this minute differences between the different demographic splits. But the most important thing is that essentially there is wide-scale agreement across every single demographic split that the people who are benefiting the most from affirmative action today are not the people who are the government says should be benefiting from it, but are the elites, the politically connected, and business owners. South Africans understand that it is that these policies of affirmative action are entrenching the power of the politically connected, the elites, and rewarding them more than they're doing anything to help the people who the elites say that the policy should help.
So it's hypocrisy.
Entirely. And it's hypocrisy that South Africans completely understand and read through. They have correctly assessed that the impact of the affirmative action policies is to enrich the people who already have connections to the political class, you know, especially the especially 50.1% of all people say it's the politically connected who benefit the most from affirmative action, which is one of those statistics that demonstrate the kind of wisdom that lies inside of the average South African. They're not stupid. They're not short-sighted. They see exactly what's going on.
When you break this down into different population groups, I can understand political parties, but why would you have black, colored, Indian, and white groupings here, given that we try to become a non-racial democracy?
Well, so we actually break it down across, I think, 9 or 10 different demographic groups. But one of the best ways I find is often to make the point about how we must go beyond race is to reveal that if you break the numbers down across racial groups, that actually there is a general kind of consensus. You know, it's 69% of black people believe that the elites and politically connected are the ones who benefit most from affirmative action, versus 88% of white people who believe that it's the elites and the politically connected who benefit the most. But really, that shows that the vast majority of both black and white and colored and Indian people all accept the idea that it is the elites and the politically connected who benefit the most. And if you do it, if you do this exercise across a number of different questions, you see that the general trend of across the different demographic groups is about the same. The people generally believe the same thing, regardless of race. And so I highlight race to show that, in fact, there isn't a significant difference across the racial groups, and that it is a misunderstanding of where South Africa is at for us to think that there would be.
Gabriel, when you describe affirmative action, is that the same as BEE or BBBEE?
Well, we intended it as the whole kind of class of these policies. So not only is affirmative action BEE, BBEE, but it is also the accelerated hiring policies, so the color-based hiring policies as opposed to merit-based hiring policies. And then it is also the procurement requirements and the kind of wider business BEE requirements. So it's the whole bundle of policies.
Let's have a look at another one. I only pulled 4 of the questions out, as I mentioned earlier. Government should determine the race of the staff that you are allowed to employ. Do you agree or disagree with this statement? Take us through this or the results here.
Before I take you through these results, if you'll indulge me, I just want to take one step back for a second to highlight exactly why we asked this question specifically, because this question formed one of a battery of about 10 questions we asked around what government should be able to control when it comes to businesses. But before we asked those questions, we asked a general question, a very esoteric question. Basically, should the government lead economic development or should the private sector lead economic development? And when you ask that question, what you see is that people generally respond in the way that they've been taught to respond. So 65% of South Africans will say that they want the government to lead economic development. And about only 35% will say that they want the private sector to lead economic development. But when you break it down into its specifics, so, okay, you've said now that the government should lead economic development. And what that then means is that the government should actually, in a practical sense, that belief should be translated into the idea that the government should have strong controls over the various aspects of business. And so, if we were to assume that this is actually what people believe, then the practical result should be that when we ask people, should government be able to determine the race of the staff you're allowed to employ, most people should say yes, because they think that government should lead how businesses act through regulations, because they believe that government should lead economic development. But in fact, what happens is when you apply the belief practically, you say, okay, should the government be able to control this aspect of your business? The finding reverses. And all of a sudden, people are against government involvement in business. So here we have the question, should they be able to determine the race of the staff you're allowed to employ? About 30% of all people say, yes, they should. And about 70% say no. Across the different demographic groups I've given you here, it's about 37% black, 37% of black people say yes, they should be able to control the race of the staff, and 63% say no. And then you contrast that with white people, whose 4% say yes, and 95% say no. But again, the point of this is that the vast majority of both black and white people don't think that the government should be involved in who you should hire in your company, the race of the staff of your employees. And when you do this exercise across a number of different questions, so we ask not only the race of the staff, but we ask where you should start your business, what products or services you sell, setting the price of those products, how much profit you should be able to keep. All of those questions lead to people saying, no, the government should not be involved in the various aspects of business. And so in a large kind of esoteric theory sense, people think that they believe that the government should be involved very heavily in the economy. But in a practical sense, when you actually break it down, okay, should government be involved here, here, here? They don't think that government should be involved at all.
First level thinking versus second level thinking, but just in a real basic thing. So mouth the platitudes. Yes, we love socialism. Yes, the government should be driving it, but oh, not in my business. No, they shouldn't be employing the people on the basis of race and so on and so forth. For South Africa to succeed, it is essential that all racial groups are treated equally. It is only by providing the same opportunities and rights that we will succeed. Okay, and then there was a second statement, but it was a bit difficult to put it onto my slide. So let's just, the second statement would be the opposite of this. Take us through the results that came from these questions.
So this is, again, a general test of, you know, the idea of how important is race, and have people really imbibed the idea that the government puts out that to equalize, one must be almost be brought, levels must be brought down to equalize the racial groups. And on this question, about just shy of 70% of people think that the way that South Africa succeeds is all racial groups being treated equally before the law. No difference in opportunity and no difference in rights, which means that on a very basic level, people are fundamentally opposed to the racial nationalism that is being pushed forward ever more. What is so interesting to see is, although there is a difference in degree, the general sweep across the demographic groups is always the same. There is, in fact, racial unity in South Africa on the idea that the way that South Africa succeeds is not only that, you know, black and white and colored live and prosper together, but that they be treated equally before the law. That means that there's no special treatment for any group. And it is a minority of the population that actually think that the way that South Africa prospers is for us to continue to engage in these racial nationalist policies that give preference to one racial group over another. The understanding and the general sense in South Africa is actually in favor of colorblind, you know, rainbow nation liberalism. It's just that there has been no outlet for those beliefs. And also when the conversation is brought up, it's always had, I find, in a very negative, aggressive way, in which you're saying, people are trying to say this is attempting to redress, you know, the racism and the horrible the legacy of apartheid, and if you are against it, you are a racist and you don't want to see black people succeed, as opposed to being allowed to make the more nuanced point that is, I'm for everyone succeeding, but I'm for everyone succeeding on their own merit. And the way to encourage people to do that is to give everyone the same opportunity, not to give a leg up to anyone, so we can all succeed and fail based on our own inherent abilities.
Yeah, or not to have a leg down for a small percentage of the population. And then finally, government should determine which staff you're allowed to employ. Do you agree or disagree with the statement? I wanted to bring this in here because this is really at the heart of affirmative action, black economic empowerment, etc.
Yes, and it is, once again, you see that when you break it down, about 25% of South Africans do think that the government should determine which staff you're allowed to employ, but 75% don't. They think, no, we don't want the government to be able to tell us anything about our business, really. And you see, when you look at the racial groups, 69% of black people who are the quote-unquote beneficiaries of these policies think that it's ridiculous that the government tells you which staff you're allowed to employ. And I think that this gets to the heart of the matter, which is the ANC and the racial nationalists, the racial nationalists, be it the ANC, EFF, and MK, or the professors in UCT or Wits or whatever, they have a narrative about this country that, you know, essentially black people are a monolith, and that the government policies that the ANC pursue are reflective of the monolithic black public opinion. And what has been shown to me time and time again, and what a result like this demonstrates, is that in fact black people aren't a monolith. There's no, and no racial group in South Africa is a monolith. That black people especially are able to see the result of government policy and correctly assess the impact it has. So when it comes to forcing people to employ staff of a certain race, or forcing or telling people exactly what staff they're allowed to employ, black people as a whole generally correctly prescribe that as a negative impact on business, and think that the government should not be allowed to do that. And you see this time and time again, where the racial nationalists in South Africa say, no, what we're doing is we are forwarding, we're trying to make black people successful. I mean, the way that Cyril Ramaphosa talked about BEE is a prime example of this, that no, we have to double down because this is for black people and I'm for black people. And if you're against what I'm saying, you're against black people and empowering black people. Whereas the average black South African actually believes that, one, the racial nationalist policies do not help me. You know, we showed that in the beginning when they correctly ascribe that the affirmative action policies help the elites and the politically connected. They don't like government involvement in their lives and in their businesses and in the economy. The two questions about what government should be able to, the staff, the government determining your staff, show that. And then further finding we found is that actually the general black person is very individualistic, believes that it is their actions and their character that defines who they are, and they want to see people appointed on merit, and they want to see themselves exist in a country in which merit as an individual character is the thing that's made central, not their racial group.
Yeah, ek word bedonderd by all this racial nonsense. And at least, maybe just to close off with, we have now the best rugby team in the world, the best cricket team in the world, for test cricket anyway. and there's no racial determination on who the captains and the leaders of those teams are. So please, for heaven's sake, these politicians just need to get off their high horses, listen to what is happening on the ground, and the SRF and others are showing that we as South Africans think very differently to the way that we are told to think. Gabriel Macon is the head of, or the director of research at the SRF. You want to say something to close off with?
Because the sports team thing is very important. We asked a question on the sports team. We said, imagine you're the coach of a sports team. Do you think race should, you should take race into account when choosing members of your team? And amongst Black people, 80% said no. It should be based in when, if I was a sports coach selecting a team, like, I would not want race to filter in at all. It has to be based on the on merit. And you can see, you again there, when it comes to something as purely South African as our pride in our sport, people know exactly that the government policies are harming our outcomes, and even when it comes to sports teams and you know, something as innocent as that, they do not want the government policies that are being pushed by the racial nationalists.
Thank you, Gabriel. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.